الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan Ayamin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you over any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome back to our weekly Islamic studies class, or welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be on purification of the heart. And when I talk about purification, let me just say a few things to you. And that is, we're talking about purification of our insides, our hearts and our soul. So how do we purify them, or how do we clean them up? And Angel Jibril, the messenger angel, and what he did was, the Prophet Muhammad was in a particular building, and all of a sudden the roof from the building was gone, and you could basically see the sky because it kind of opened up. And then what came down, or who came down through the sky or through that roof, was Angel Jibril. And then Angel Jibril, he opened up the chest of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, and his chest or his heart, and he cleaned it up with Zamzam water to purify it. And Zamzam water is like a little history to Zamzam water. And also you can find it in Mecca and Medina and Saudi Arabia. And it has to do with Hajar and her son and her going back and forth to feed him or find something for him to eat and drink when she was in the desert by herself. And then Allah let the spring come up a lot of years ago when the Zamzam water was produced. And then ever since, from that time to now, Zamzam water still flow, and it gives water and quenches the thirst of thousands or millions of people from all over the world that come to Mecca and come to Medina. I was in Mecca and Medina in March 22, and I had a chance to of course drink Zamzam water. And there's a lot of other different sayings of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, about the goodness of Zamzam water and feeling filled with Zamzam water, and how it purifies the individual that drank this particular water. But you all, for your homework, you can look up for yourself about Zamzam water, what it is, where it started, and also how they purify it there in Saudi Arabia. They make sure that particular team, scientific team, that's basically what they do. They make sure there's no other impurities in the water, and make sure the water is pure Zamzam water and is filtered like that. And so that's the beauty of the Zamzam water for years and years and years. You have a group of people to ensure that it is pure the Zamzam water. But look it up for yourself, and that's Z-A-M, that's Zamzam water. But that's just kind of your homework. But right now we're talking about purification of the heart. And since more than likely Jibril is not going to open up the roof of our homes, and then come to our chest and purify our, open our chests up, our hearts up, and purify our hearts or our chest and clean it up with Zamzam water, as it did with Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. So there are other ways I want to mention to you of purifying the heart. It's important because it purified, purifying the heart and make it good, if you will, and make it obedient to Allah. It also, of course, purifies the soul, or the body follows the heart. Basically, what's in the heart, the body follows, it responds to. And so I don't want to get too deep with that, but I hope you understand what I mean by that. Now, there was a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, or is a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, and peace be upon him, he said, and I had mentioned to you earlier again, the roof of the house, of my house, was made open while I was at Mecca on a night of Miraj. Miraj is when he ascended to paradise, and then certain things happened to him in paradise, and then Allah talked about the how many prayers a person should make. So it'd be 50 prayers a day, and then they got to back to, and you met different what you call the different prophets there. And met him along the way. And Prophet, I believe it was Prophet Musa or Moses, he said, no, your people are not going to be able to do 50 prayers. But that's a whole nother class there. And so it said, we're talking about he opened up the house, the roof to his house, and Jibril descended. He opened up my chest and washed it with with the water of Zamzam. He brought the golden tray full of wisdom and belief and poured it into my chest and then closed it up. Then he took hold of my hand and ascended to the nearest heaven. Jibril told the gatekeeper of the nearest heaven to open the gate. The gatekeeper asked, who is it? He said, Jibril, I am Jibril. And then, of course, it goes on to, did Allah send for this person who was with you? He said, Muhammad? He said, well, did Allah send for him? And he said, yes. And then he let him in, and then he ascended to the various heavens. It's like seven heavens. And like I said, I won't get into that right now, but we're talking about the purification of the heart. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his heart was purified, opened up, and then it was washed with Zamzam water, and then wisdom and belief were poured into his chest or pulled into his heart. Again, that may not be our case, and we may have to start getting our hearts, don't get our hearts dirty in the first place. And what I mean by that is that we get our heart dirty with sinning. And when a person sins, say for example, a little dark spot forms on his or her heart. And then the more they sin, the greater or the larger the dark spot grows on their heart until their whole heart is dark. And so then you want to, by not having your heart get dark, then you don't sin. That way your heart, you don't get this spot on your heart that grows and grows and grows until your heart is dark. And then it's like your heart with dark, any faith you had in it is gone, and within your heart is just darkness from your sins. It also mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, when a believer sins, there's a black spot in his heart, and if he repents and asks pardon, his heart is polished. But if he does more, it increases till it gains domination over his heart. That is the rest mentioned by Allah Most High. And then it says, nay, but what they were committing has spread like rust over their heart. So I basically said the same thing that I read in English. And that's, you find that in the Quran. So you have the Quran with you. And that's chapter 83, verse 14. Again, chapter 83, verse 14, and it says, nay, but what they were committing, what they were committing has spread like rust over their hearts. but you can get a chance to read that that portion to yourself, and you find it, I guess, near the end of this particular particular verse. Then you have another saying of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him. He said, a group of people, both men and women, whose hearts will be like the hearts of birds, will enter Jannah, will enter paradise. And then it goes on to explain later on about what does he mean by hearts at the like the birds, or the hearts of birds. It has been interpreted that such people are those who put their trust in Allah. Another interpretation is that they that these are people who were tender-hearted people. And so that's part of being tender-hearted, or putting your trust in Allah. And we're talking about here having that bird-sized heart. Not even so much as the size of it. Birds have small hearts compared to human hearts and others' hearts. But you're talking about in terms of putting a person trust in Allah, and also have a tender heart. And that's what you're talking about here, having a tender heart, a heart free of contamination, a heart free of rust. And so that's what we're talking about here when we're talking about the purifying of one's heart. And each and every one of us can do that. We can put our trust in Allah, and we can be tender-hearted towards people, and have those hearts that are like the hearts of birds. And so that's what I'm talking about. It's like something that anyone can do, not just Muslims. Anyone can change your heart. Do something better for your heart. Have a heart that is more amenable and to other people, and helpful towards the people, and also, of course, good for yourself, and help you get into the paradise. It was also related by Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. It was said to the messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, which of the people is best or excellent? He said, anyone who is pure of heart and sincere in speech. They said, sincere in speech? We know what this is, but what is a pure heart? He said, it is the heart that is pious and pure, with no sin, injustice, bitterness, or envy in it. Okay, so you want to understand what a pious and pure heart is? It's one that has no sin, to the best of our ability, having no sin, not being unjust with people, treat one group of people one way, and then treat another group of people another way. Our laws only apply to certain people, but it doesn't apply to all people. If I break the law because I'm on a certain economic level, then I go to jail or whatever, something like that. But a person who is rich, a politician, that sort of thing, and they break that same law, then they looked at, and people like look the other way, or cover their eyes, or make excuses for them that, no, we don't want to do certain things to them because they did a certain thing because of their position. And also, in the heart, don't want to have bitterness, and also a heart that's not have envy in it. And when it also, I'm going to go back to injustice. There was a time when, during the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, one of the rich people, she could have afforded, she stole, I think it was a necklace or bracelet, something like that, some kind of jewelry, she stole it, because she could afford it. That would be no problem for her to afford it, but she had an opportunity to steal it, and she gave it to her urge to take it. She took it, and she was basically caught with the stolen goods. And so, the people, the Muslims or whatever, they knew. Some people knew that what was going to happen to her because she stole something. And if you steal something in Islam, not because you need it, because your family, home, or something like that, or it's over a certain amount of money, and then you get your hand cut off. And so, but I won't get into that hudud or that punishment for the crime of stealing. So the people knew that this woman, really, she's supposed to get her hand cut off. And so they appealed to one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. Can he appeal to Prophet Muhammad and tell him, don't do anything to this woman from this elite group of people. Don't do it to this woman who stole something. And so the man, he did go to Prophet Muhammad, and he appealed for her on her behalf. And Prophet Muhammad, I believe he became upset with the request. And he said, basically, look, if my daughter Fatima stole something, my own blood, flesh and blood, I would cut her hand off. Because that's what the hudud is, the punishment for people who steal. And so it didn't matter who this person was and the level, whatever she stole, the amount that she stole, then this is supposed to happen to her. And now don't some of you think, oh, this is barbaric, it is wrong, that kind of thing. No, that's how you really have a just society, and that anyone that steals, this is what happens to them. No matter who it is that steals, a politician, rich person, poor person, this is what happened to them. Or in Islam, you have a lot of, you can look at it for yourself, look it up for yourself, what happened to hudud for certain things that you do, and you have to pay the price for the crime that you committed. And some things when we do the hudud, or the punishment, hudud punishment, to people, we let other people look at it and see it, so also to be a lesson for them not to do the same thing, because they will have to suffer the same fate that this person suffered. Not that we want to in Islam. I know someone may use this particular episode for their own means. Look what Islam, see that Islam is bad, that kind of thing. But the truth is the truth, so you understand. And these are things you can look up, you can Google, whatever you want, look up for yourself, and know it's nothing hidden. The hudud of punishment of Islam for stealing. And if you really want to be fair, you can look up other faith, what happened to a person that breaks a law, a societal law, what happens to them. If you're talking about equality, not just what happened to a rich person in comparison to what does not happen to a rich person that happens to a poor person that committed the same crime. You can look it up for yourself. Do your history. I have a bunch of very intelligent students that just don't go by CCC, Islam do this, Islam doing that. No, you look up other faith, and I'm not getting to that right now, what they do when a person commits a certain crime against society. Because that person commits a crime and get away with it, then other people commit the crime and get away with it. And then you basically have a lawless society, people doing whatever they want to do, and that's not a really fair and just society. And it'd be an unsafe society for people to live and to thrive and prosper and that sort of thing, which I won't get into that right now, but you all know what I mean. So please be fair when you're talking about your studies of Islam, and also the looking at, if you want to compare and contrast, go right ahead. But be fair with it, and looking at what Islam does for certain things, and then also look what other faiths do. And Islam does not imitate other faiths, because we are who we are. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. To you your way, and to us our way. You may not agree with the way we handle certain things and do certain things, but we're not doing it for your pleasure. We're doing it for the pleasure of Allah, who created each and every one of us. Allah is El Khalid. He created all that we see and all that we don't see. He's the one that knows what controls mankind and what's best for mankind, and that's us. Mankind also meaning humankind, meaning women too. He knows us, and he knows what best thing that can control our behavior if it truly is done in a fair manner. So whatever, if a person commits adultery, then the man and the woman should be punished for the act that they did. Not just the woman and not just the man, because they both were part of that act that was taking place. And so Islam is very, 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 very fair in that area. Now understand me, folks, my students. Muslims may not be fair, but Islam is fair. So don't get the two mixed up. Muslims going to do whatever they're going to do, and it may even go against Islam. But you decide to become Muslim, you to the best of your ability, try to do Islam to the best of your ability, and not imitate Muslims, but imitate what Islam says to do, and Islam says not to do. That's what you are supposed to do, because maybe you'll be a good example for the other Muslims that have been Muslim longer than you. So let me move on. It is also mentioned that Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, said, "Verily Allah does not look unto your bodies nor your faces, but he looks unto your hearts." And he pointed towards his heart with his fingers. That's what Allah looks for. He doesn't look at your face, or have, no matter how pretty you are, or how well your body is shaped or for you. That's not important. What Allah wants to know is what is in your heart. Are your heart rusty with sins, or your heart nice and pure, and to your best of your ability, sinless? So let me move on. It also mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, it was said, "What is unlawful is clear, and what is lawful is clear, and what is unlawful is clear. But between them are certain doubtful things which many people do not recognize. He who guards against doubtful things keeps his religion and his honor blameless. But he who falls into doubtful things falls into what is unlawful. Just as a shepherd who pastures his animals round a preserve will soon pasture them in it. Every king has a preserve, and Allah's preserve is the things he has declared unlawful. In the body there is a piece of flesh, and the whole body is sound if it is sound. But if the whole body is corrupt, it is corrupt. And that is the heart." And so understand what I just mentioned is that what happened is that you're going to be around or bring your animal, a shepherd bring his animal like to the edge of what is wrong. He's doing lawful things by having his sheep eat from his property, for example. But then he's on the edge of his sheep being near his neighbor's property to his sheep, and he's allowed it to happen, goes to his neighbor's property and start eating from that too. This is wrong. And this is what we're talking about in terms of the heart. Stay within the lawful thing, what you're supposed to do. But when you go into the unlawful, the doubtful things, where you're not supposed to be, of course, this is not correct for us to do. And as it mentioned, is that about the piece of flesh? If the whole body is sound, if it is sound. And if the whole body is corrupt, it is corrupt. And you're talking about that piece of flesh, which is the heart. That heart has to be sound. That heart has to be inshallah, or the Allah willing. It cannot be corrupt, because if the heart is corrupt, then if the body is corrupt, then the heart is corrupt. So we want to keep that heart as pure as possible and uncorrupt as possible. That's what we want to do. Stay away from that. Keep our hearts pure. Since Jibril, Angel Jibril not coming through our homes or whatever, open up our chest and purifying it and washing it out like it did Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, and put into wisdom and put in it belief, that more than likely that's not going to happen. And so we have to do what is called self-care. And when you're talking about self-care, being very careful about what about the shape of our heart and what's being put into our heart and what is formulated our heart, and that we don't have that rust on our heart or the black spot on our heart that's going to grow. We do not want that to happen to any of that. In Allah, he mentioned that whoever has a mustard seed's weight of pride, arrogance in his heart shall not be admitted into paradise. And whoever has a mustard seed weight of faith in his heart shall not be admitted into the fire, al-nur. So we want to have a mustard seed. And mustard seed, I had one in my hand one time, is very small. It's a small, small thing. It's like you have it on the tip of your finger and you rub it too much and it drops on the floor. It's going to be hard to find that one little mustard seed. And that's very difficult because it's just so small. So the thing is, but if a person has a mustard seed or arrogance or pride in their heart, then that person will not be admitted to paradise. But they have a mustard seed of faith, iman, in their heart, which is saying it is faith, then the person will not be admitted to the fire. So you have that choice, my students, either to have just that small, it might be large, but to have that small mustard seed of arrogance or pride in your heart, meaning you will not be admitted into paradise. But you just have a mustard seed or just a small amount of faith in your heart, iman in your heart, then you will not go into the fire. So that's, I just want to be clear how important it is for your heart to be purified. Now, one of the dua or the supplication that Prophet Muhammad will make, and so I want to also tell you all about it, that you can make it. And then it says that Anna said, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he most frequently said, O Allah, O overturner of hearts, make my heart firm in your deen or in your religion. And so that's one of the dua, the supplication that could be made. Us as Muslims, this is a supplication we made to Allah. And we say to Allah, O Allah, O overturner of hearts, make my heart firm in your deen, or make our hearts firm in Islam. So this is what we ask and we pray to Allah, that he has control over things, and please turn our hearts so that we be more inclined towards him and towards loving him and obeying him, and don't have that rust on our hearts, and to purify our hearts, and maybe even in pray to put into our hearts a wisdom and belief in our hearts. As Angel Jibril did when he washed the Prophet Muhammad's heart out, and then he opened his chest and washed his heart out, and then put in it two things: belief in his heart, and also he purified his heart and put the wisdom in his heart. So basically, that was part of the purification process. I'm putting the wisdom and belief in the heart of the Prophet Muhammad. And I pray Allah put also the wisdom and belief into our each and every one of our hearts. Again, that supplication is the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, most frequently said, O Allah, O overturner of hearts, make my heart firm in your deen, or in your Islam. You want to know more information about Islam, you go to Why Islam. You can also go to the International Online University or go to American Open University to be further educated in the Islamic faith. Also, you're beginners in Islam, you want to begin to think information on Islam, you can go to Embrace Revert on .org, and they could, if you very basic information you want to know about Islam, it has a lot of that on online for you, and that's Embrace, Embrace, Revert www.thebestofthebest.org. And so you can always listen to this again, this particular episode again, so you can get, and you can get that Embrace or American Open University, International Online University, or Why Islam, and get that information. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.